Tottenham story is this. It's time to change the situation if Tottenham want to change.
I love to win, mate. That's the main thing. Hopefully I can fulfil those dreams and aspirations of every Tottenham supporter.
And still Ricky Villa. What a fantastic run. He scored.
He's going to have a crack. He is, you know. Oh!
I'm loving big engines instead. Guess I'm a Spurs fan now then.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Tottenham Way, a reaction podcast after Tottenham's 3-1 win over Crystal Palace, another comeback victory. I'm joined by Tom Allnut of the Times. I'm Tom Barkley from The Sun. Tom, I was writing my match report today and I felt like for about 75 minutes, particularly after Berici Eze scored that wonderful free kick, that perhaps the honeymoon period of the Ange Postecoglou era was almost coming to an end, because it would have been back-to-back defeats after the Wolves game. But more to the point, the performances have just not quite had the same kind of sharpness and fizz and creativity of late. And then they go and do what they do and sort of make the fans fall back in love with him all over again. I mean, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think Spurs were very much kind of in control. You couldn't really argue they were on the back foot at all. I mean, the first half, they must have had, I don't know, 70-80% possession, right? I mean, and maybe if that chance for Timo Werner goes in, then maybe it's a different kind of game. But it is really difficult, I think. It's worth kind of saying this from the outset. I think it's really difficult to break down a team when they set up like Palace did today. You know, they for all the expectation we had about Glasner's teams being more exciting and more open, actually, they basically came here to do a job on Spurs. They played five at the back, essentially four in midfield, and just left what Mateta up front kind of on his own most of the time. And that's difficult. Like, Spurs were basically trying to beat 11 men in that first half. And I think we can say, I think you're absolutely right, and those words are good ones, things like fizz and zip. And, you know, they sort of lacked a bit of that. I thought they're a bit ponderous. But it is difficult to sort of break down those teams. And it was just the kind of dream scenario for Palace. Get everyone behind the ball with straight Spurs, get a free kick on the edge of the area, stick it in the top corner. And you sort of, you know, they were really in sight, weren't they, with a sort of real smash and grab win. It wasn't, I don't think it was a spectacular performance from Tottenham. I agree with you, they're nowhere near their kind of highs of earlier in the season. They're kind of plodding through at the moment. But it was a really important victory, I think, given that they're playing for the next week.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I do think the way Palace set up is the main reason why they weren't able to be as free-flowing as normal. You say Mateta was up front. I mean, at times it felt like he was even deeper than that. Particularly in that first half. But having said that, over the course of these, particularly these last sort of four home games, I know there was an Everton away game in between there, but with four winnable home games, which obviously lost against Wolves, won the other three, so it's not a bad return. It hasn't been quite as exciting as it was in the first half of the season. Do you think that is mainly down to injuries sort of catching up with them? Because again, Porro, who I think is such a key part of this team, was injured today. Richarlison was injured today. We all know about the other injuries they've had before. Or do you think it's more to do with the fact that teams are starting to work them out a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think I work them out always sort of sounds a bit more damning than it maybe is. I just think that teams have come up with a plan against Tottenham. You know, and we see this often with new managers in the first kind of 6 months, or even that can extend to a season, where you have a really good team, like, that come up from, you know, the Championship, and they suddenly surprise everyone. And then the second season, they find it more difficult. And I think, in a way, it's sort of almost flattering for Tottenham. The teams are now coming here and basically accepting that a 0-0 would be a fantastic result, you know. And they know that they've watched loads of footage of the Postecoglou Spurs team. And I think you're right. They are coming out with plans. And that plan is, it's not rocket science. They're just dropping in, 11 men behind the ball, trying to frustrate Spurs, saying, OK, you can, you know, you can play your tippy-tappy passy, but actually you've got to break us down. And I did think today, I don't know what you thought about this, but I thought they were a bit tippy-tappy at times. It felt a bit like, you have it, I'll have it. You have it, I'll have it. You know, and it felt a bit like watching Spain in the last kind of 4 or 5 years. Where's this ball going? Where's the chance creation? You know, and out wide, I didn't think Werner and Kulusevski did anywhere near enough. You know, and in the first half, to be honest, I think Son was pretty quiet as well. Madison, we're still not kind of seeing the kind of 10 out of 10 Madison we saw back in whatever it was, September, October. And I just think all those kind of creative parts, they're not working as well as they were earlier in the season. And this is where I think what we talked about the other day on our squad audit, you know, we're sort of saying, imagine if Spurs today had a kind of a Neto or a Rafinha or even an Eze, for example, you know, just maybe instead of Werner, who, yes, he got his goal, missed that chance, you know, and just so many times things just kind of seemed to break down with him. I don't know. I mean, are you sort of thinking it was a a good performance, or what do you think?
Well, I do think we're in that part of the season where results are so key, and they've got the win. That's the main thing. But even the post-match press conference that I've just been in with Ange Postecoglou, it was very quick. It just felt like, right, let's move on to the next one at this stage. But it wasn't a performance that's going to live long in the memory. We can talk in a minute about some of the individuals that were key to this win or major sort of parts of it. But I don't know, like, back, you know, you talk about Son in particular, who obviously got the last goal, took it really nicely. I do feel with him playing centre forward, he brings a lot of qualities, but he just doesn't occupy defenders like an Ivan Toney does. So when things are harder to break down, you don't have that sort of focal point. And maybe that's being a bit sort of thinking of football in a bit of an old school kind of way. But that's why I think a striker like that would be quite useful up top, at least as an option.
Well, particularly the defenses drop deep.
Yeah.
That's where you think, well, Sonny is so good, obviously, at spinning in behind, but also just with kind of space to run into, you know, when everything is so tight and there's so many bodies around the box, it doesn't kind of feed into his strengths quite so much.
No, and Kulusevski, as you say, was quiet. There just wasn't much space in behind. I mean, the one time that actually happened in the first half, Werner has to score that. It was just, but to be fair, I don't think many people have much confidence. It's like watching Dominic Calvert-Lewin at the moment. You know, he just doesn't look like he's going to score that kind of goal. He did everything right to begin with. That particular moment, Bentancur wins the ball off Eze, wasn't it, really well. Son with a lovely first-time ball, and his touch at first, Werner, to put it in front of him, was exquisite. Does the right thing. And then, you know, you think, pull the trigger when Johnson is coming out a bit, and then he tries to go round him, and the chance is gone. And it's just what we're used to seeing at Chelsea. You hope that now he has got a goal in the second half. I mean, that ball from Brennan Johnson was so good that even Timo couldn't miss that one. You hope that that will give him the confidence going forward. But I don't think any Spurs fans will be expecting that to happen just because of what we've seen from Werner over the years, really. But yeah, I mean, I come back to Porro. I mean, I just think with the way this team plays, and particularly against a team like Crystal Palace, he is such a miss when he's not there, whether it be his set-piece delivery, whether it be just popping up on the right, coming inside. You know, I do think he would have made a big, big difference. Maddison was a funny one. I mean, he really hasn't had the same level of performance since he's come back from that injury as he had before it. But then again, it was a nice ball for the Romero key second goal.
Mm.
So I think there were sort of glimpses in that second half of him starting to show his kind of pick unlocking kind of creativity, but it's still not quite there. But hopefully it's another 90 minutes, or actually a little bit less, because he came off in the under his belt, which can lead to that match sharpness. But
I think with Maddison, like, his standards are so high, you know where he can get to. That, I mean, if you saw Maddison today as a new signing or like an academy player playing with Spurs, you'd be like, who's that guy? You know, like, he can pass it the outside of his foot, you know, some lovely balls through, provides the assist for that goal, as you said, and did really well. I thought he should let the ball sort of run across his body. I mean, Palace gave him way too much space there, but still, you know, it's a very clever ball over to Romero. But you're right, like, because we know what he can deliver and what he has done this season for Spurs specifically, it doesn't quite feel there yet. But I think, you know, I think there are a few players like that. I mean, I'd say Kulusevski's not his best right now. I mean, you know, I did ratings on today and it was mainly sixes and sevens, you know, and it was just that kind of day, I think. But that's okay. You know, they won the game. And I think that is, you know, we shouldn't be too downbeat about it. I think because we've watched 75 minutes of them kind of toiling and you know, labouring against a sort of determined Palace team, you should have come out of it thinking, oof, that was close. You know, they that could have been a really sort of dreary, disappointing day. And it would have been very damaging for their kind of top four hopes. But actually, they come out with it with a really kind of pulsating win. And right, the end, you know, the atmosphere in the stadium was brilliant. You know, and they go into this game now at Villa, I think, on a high, you know, with a bit of rhythm behind them. And you know, I think there are also some positive individual performances. You know, we should talk about Johnson.
That's what we're going to see.
He's now, you know, influenced what, two or three games off mm-hmm. the bench. And I don't think it's an exaggeration to say today that he really kind of created something out of nothing. It was that real sort of moment you always get in these kind of matches where the home team is 1-0 down, where the fans are starting to get sort of groany, the opposition goalkeeper gets the kind of classic yellow card for time wasting, and it just kind of feels it's all going that way of a 0-1. And Johnson, you know, he hassles, he presses, he's aggressive, he wins that ball off Anderson, he has the speed in that sort of 2 or 3 yards to get away from Lerma, I think. And then he has the composure to look up and pick out Werner at the back post. That goal changes the game. Yeah, it really changes the game. Because from there, with 13 minutes left, plus the, you know, 7 minutes of injury time, Tottenham can easily go and win the match.
Mm.
But at that moment, Tottenham were looking like they were going to lose this game 1-0.
That ball in particular is something that Spurs fans should be very excited about, because what we've seen from Johnson so far is lack of composure. The assists he's generally got in so far this season have been first time balls, head down, Richarlison at the near post, great finish. So definitely something they've been presumably working on the training pitch, but not something where he's like head up looking for it. At least that's not what it strikes to me. Whereas this felt like someone who's calmed down a bit in the sort of final third and put it absolutely on a plate. So that was really exciting. And like you say, he is coming to the fore. And I think all of us, and particularly Kilpatrick, I think a few weeks ago when there were so many injuries that were sort of forcing Johnson to have to play every week, was saying, well, to be honest, even though he costs a lot of money, albeit the market has just gone so crazy that what does £47.5 million mean anymore? It's hard to say, but despite that price tag, he didn't. What would have been best for him is not to be playing every single week. The pressure seemed to be getting to him a bit. So it probably isn't that much of a surprise that now that he's got a bit more competition, he doesn't always have to start games. He can go on and impact them and hopefully build his confidence from there. I still think long term, he should be looking to be a regular starter for Tottenham. But right now, in that position as the sort of first man off the bench, it's working really well for Tottenham at the moment.
It's almost like this period, the way Ange is using him now, is kind of how you would have liked to have used him from the beginning of the season. You know, at first, you know, you start on the bench and you come on for 10-20 minutes, you know, here and there. And this is, you know, how we kind of phase you in, get you confidence. But obviously there was, you know, a period of necessity where he had to keep playing. And I think, you know, that's fine. And we're now seeing, I mean, I think there's an argument now, isn't there, to say that he could start the next game ahead of Kulusevski. Do you think that's a possibility? I'm one of Kulusevski's biggest fans. I think in the last couple of weeks, even I've kind of said that I think some of the criticism of him has been really unfair, but he's not playing at his best at the moment. When Johnson's doing what he is doing off the bench, I think there's a valid debate to be had.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I thought Kulusevski was pretty ineffective today, but generally I like the fact that he offers something a bit different to Werner, and Johnson's a bit more similar to Werner. So you seem a bit more, not one-dimensional, but a bit more predictable with the two of those guys playing. But this is the point now, isn't it? He's got that depth in competition, albeit with Richarlison injured at the moment, that if you don't play well enough, you drop out and it's time for someone else to have a chance. I mean, back to Werner, who overall I think had a pretty good game. He obviously had that glaring miss, but there was one ball where I think it was Johnson at the back. No, it was before Johnson came on. It just eluded everyone, but it was a very dangerous delivery, very similar to that one that he teed up for Johnson, I think, in the Brentford game. Which was decent from him. I mean, at this stage, and you probably touched on this in the midweek podcast, but you know, £15 million is a snip for a forward. After today's performance, are you feeling more like that wouldn't be a bad bit of business?
I don't know. I'm wavering. I'm still on borderline. I acknowledge that £15 million doesn't get you much in the market. In fact, it barely gets you a player who's kind of ready to play in the Premier League. And Werner is ready to play. You know, he's a body. He is a squad player. He can offer something. I'm just so aware of his limitations, you know, and one cross that flashes across the area. Yes, it was a good ball, definitely, but that's not enough. You know, for Tottenham as a left winger in front three, that's not enough. You know, okay, that's unfair. He scored the goal, you know, so it's not just the cross, you know, but, and Ange was kind of saying his presser, you know, he needed to be there. It's not coincidence, which makes me, sounded like he was kind of saying, we worked on that, you know, right winger, crossing to the back post, left wing is there. You know, I'm sure they work on that all the time. But I think there are a lot of players who would have scored that goal, you know. And I think Spurs could save £15 million and put it into the premium fund and go and get someone who's a real, you know, imagine if Spurs start with a front three to their Kulusevski, Son, and a really good left winger, then I think this is a completely different game.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think the worry would be, even though £15 million is a pretty good is a very good value, even for someone like Timo Werner, the worry is that's who they end up buying as their new left forward. And what they really need to do is go big, as I think we've said before, particularly in those wide positions, to take them onto that next level. And it's not so much like that not being a good price for Werner. It's more if that then becomes the only thing they buy, that's not really going to take them on any further. If he continues to play at this current level, I mean, who's to say that he won't kick on from here and become even more sort of useful and look even more value for money between now and the end of the season. But I guess, as I alluded to earlier, I think everyone's holding their breath on that one just because of what they've seen before at Chelsea.
I mean, the Son finish was kind of almost, I don't know, it was just like the perfect lesson of what he should have done, right? I mean, Sonny yeah. just, I mean, we know it's an unfair comparison. Sonny's one of the best strikers in the world, but he goes through, picks a spot, and puts it there. You know, whereas Werner, as you said, brilliant touches. I mean, the first touch he had to kind of take that ball through, it was absolutely perfect. He made the angle perfect for himself, you know, and he got away from the defender. But he either had to shoot when he got inside the area, or when you go around the goalkeeper, the angle has to be sharper. You know, you have to kind of make the angle and keep the element of surprise, you know, whereas his was sort of a gradual arcing curve, which then allows the goalkeeper to kind of follow it around. Right? But yeah, you know, I mean, as you say, let's see, there's still 2 or 3 months left of the season, and maybe he can finish strongly.
Just to paint the picture of the table after this, I mean, right now, as we're talking, Villa are winning at Luton 1-0. You know, it's not an easy fixture that might turn around, but if it stays as it is, Villa will be 5 points ahead of Spurs, but Spurs with the game in hand, obviously going into that massive fixture next week. But Spurs currently 6 points ahead of United. It's not a bad place to be overall, would you say?
It's not a bad place to be at all, you know, and I really think Spurs have got another couple of years to go to, you know, and I was sort of worrying today, you know, two back-to-back defeats at this point in the season with Villa playing well, to be honest, and then a really good run of form. I think that would have been really damaging, would have left them almost needing to go and win next weekend. Whereas I don't see this as a kind of do or die match, do you? I mean, against Villa, I think whoever loses it can still finish fourth.
Well, if Spurs lose, if Villa win today and Spurs lose, that's suddenly 8 points. All right, Spurs have got a game in hand. That's a lot with only what will be for Spurs 11 games to go. Mm. That's quite a big thing to jump over. I mean, it's interesting that in the build-up to this game, Andrew was asked about the easy fixture, or not easy fixtures, sort of free schedule with no European football and no cup competitions, and whether it play into his hands. And he zagged on that as kind of what he does. Generally, he often doesn't go with the sort of obvious take, but he was saying basically he would prefer to have more matches. He would keep his players sharper. Villa are obviously going to still be in European competition. So you would think that would probably play into Spurs' hands, but I don't know. I do think this fixture is really big.
Well, Villa are going to Ajax, right, in midweek on Thursday. They're going away.
So there is that. Amsterdam. Hence why we're playing on Sunday.
And it's a big game. It's not the kind of game you can fob off. So I think, you know, that's an advantage for Spurs. I mean, I do think we looked at that game today and it did sort of make me think this looks like a team that hasn't played together for a while. You know, it almost felt like the connections weren't quite there. The sort of the zip wasn't there between the kind of the main players. And maybe, you know, what Ange said, there is something in that. I think the kind of day-to-day, week-to-week, when you get that rhythm going, particularly the way he plays, maybe they did sort of lack a little bit of that today, you know. But I also think it's worth pointing out that these late goals are not coincidence. You know, like we've seen it so many times now. They've conceded almost more than anyone else in the league and they've scored more than anyone else in the league. But that comes from the fact that they are dominating the ball. They're harassing teams. They're pressing hard. They're running hard. You know, that comes from, you know, the fact that Palace make basically their only two or three defensive mistakes in the last 15 minutes is not a coincidence in my mind. Like it's because they're tired, because they're mentally tired, you know. And so it's all very well kind of saying, well, for 75 minutes, you know, they labour, yada, yada, yada. But that all loads into that last 10 minutes, you know, and they almost deserve, they almost made Palace make mistakes because of what they've done in the whole game, you know. And yeah, it's another late win. They kind of snatched it, I guess, but I thought they deserved it.
Yeah, I mean, and Oliver Glasner was actually asked about it afterwards, the Crystal Palace manager, because that is now 19 goals conceded in the last 15 minutes of the season for Palace. So obviously most of that predates him, albeit three today.
But again,
but as my point is that Spurs may well have been very aware of that, and they probably knew that the final 15 minutes could be very, very key point.
And the opposite is also true. You know, we know that Hodgson's Palace have basically been pretty keen to give up the ball for most of the season. Mm. It's not a coincidence that those teams who are kind of playing close to the wind all the time ultimately are the ones who do end up conceding later on.
And just as a final point, in the last fortnight, in these last two home games, we've seen Pedro Neto and we've seen Eberechi Eze, two players who, I mean, Miguel Delaney at the Independent wrote the other day that two players on Spurs' radar for the summer. I think both would be fantastic signings, to be honest. But from what you've seen, were you at the Wolves game? I'm trying to remember. But Neto was fantastic in that game. I was at that match and he set up Joao Gomez's at least one of the goals with an amazing run. Who would you most like if you were Spurs? If you're in Danny Levy's position in that summer and you managed, one of them was available.
Ezra was good today. It was funny, wasn't it? There was a sort of a box behind us in the press area, which seemed very much to be Eze's family and friends. Mm. And
I think it was his family members.
Yeah. Today, yeah. They're all cheering when he fired in that free kick. I mean, to be fair, it wasn't the kind of game where Palace's attackers were able to kind of demonstrate their skills throughout. But he won the free kick with a really good run that Bentancur brings him down. Mm. He's basically too strong and too quick for him. And then obviously the free kick itself was just a moment of technical quality. I think it seems to me like he likes to come inside, right, play more centrally. For me, like Neto's almost someone who likes to come in from wide a bit more. I mean, mm. I think that might suit Spurs a bit more. I don't, in terms of this team.
Neto.
Yeah, Neto. Yeah, I think maybe Eze's kind of a bit more. He likes to kind of get in through the centre and run through and support the strike almost on number 10, which is what he wears.
Well, I wonder if he were to sign for Tottenham, whether he would play actually alongside Maddison rather than an out wide position.
Yeah. I mean, both would be good.
Yeah. I mean, if they could sign, back to your Werner talk, I mean, if they could sign both of those for, I mean, look, Neto's going to probably cost about 70, isn't he? And Eze not far behind. But if, as we've said for a long time, I think Spurs' squad is so set up now that what I think would be the way to make strides in the summer is just go big on one or two players in the summer to make that difference rather than squad building. I know Dan thinks more like, they need a backup left back. And yes, when a doggy's not there, it is notable. But I think you need those real difference makers to make it up, even with the likely extended fixture list with Europe next season, is my opinion.
Would you agree? Yeah, I agree. I mean, you look at the bench that Spurs had. Yes, Johnson made a huge difference, but actually looking down the list, thinking, what are the attacking changes they can make here? And just sort of thinking, well, maybe Lo Celso can come on, and I think they need a bit more than that.
Yeah, and with Neto and Eze, I could see them both being attractive to Postecoglou because he does like versatile players. And as we just said, with Eze, he could play in a number of positions. Neto's even played centre forward for Wolves at times this season. So, yeah, both would be very good. Anyway, that pretty much wraps it up for that comeback victory over Palace. Spurs. A good win in the end, despite being a bit difficult for a while. But overall, all that matters is 3 points and another good performance for Brennan Johnson and a goal for Timo. So we'll speak to you in a week for an extended pod. Bye for now.